Good morning. Please turn in your Bibles to the first chapter of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs, the first chapter. The fear of God is something that is mentioned throughout Scripture and is a very important concept for us to be able to understand. When we think of fear, we generally think of being afraid of something. And I don't know that that is completely the idea. The idea behind fear of the Lord is to have proper reverence toward Him. But the idea of fear is not completely divorced from the idea of fear of the Lord, because we need to understand, as we have proper reverence for the Lord, that there is complete security in obedience to the Lord. We don't need to fear and be afraid of our relationship with God if we stand in obedience to His will. We also need to understand that in our effort to be obedient to His will, there is grace that He has made available to us for forgiveness, that there is mercy that the Lord has promised in His word. But on the other hand, we need to know that there is absolute terror in rebellion against the Lord, and complete insecurity in a failure to take His word seriously. So you see where the element of fear rests. We as Christians who try to do what God would have us to do need not be insecure, because there's security in doing what God would have us to do. There's security in trying our best to try to follow His will. But we also need to understand that there is complete insecurity and even terror in disobedience to Him. I understood that when I was growing up as a child. I wasn't afraid of my daddy, because I knew that if I was in obedience to what my father had told me to do, and if I paid careful attention to what he had told me to do, I was in complete security. But I knew there was absolutely no security if I decided to take his word lightly or to rebel against what he said. I knew there was terror. Did you hear me? Terror involved in that. Now, this lesson is not a lesson on parenting, but let me tell you, parents, you need to make sure that your children learn the basics of fear of the Lord by them understanding the fear of the Lord in you. You need to let them understand there is absolute security and even hope for grace and mercy in their effort to obey you. But they need to understand that there is insecurity if they disregard your word, and there is terror in disobedience to what you have to say. They don't learn it from you. They're not going to know it about how they need to feel about God one day. For them as children, God is an abstract concept. But you are not. And you need to make sure that they understand that fear of the Lord beginning with you. The book of Proverbs probably has as much to say about the fear of the Lord as any book I know of in the Bible. So this morning I'd like to look at some of the definitive statements in the book of Proverbs that let us know exactly the place that the fear of the Lord needs to have in our lives. Let's look, for example, in the first chapter and in the second chapter of the book of Proverbs, because there we see several instances in which we find the fear of the Lord defined. For example, in verse 7 of chapter 1. And please keep your Bibles open to the book of Proverbs, because those are the only passages we'll consult in this lesson. And we will be consulting passages all the way from chapter 1 to chapter 23. So please keep your finger at that place. And I'd like you to follow along with me, because it is important for us to understand this valuable biblical concept. In verse 7 it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." We see also in verse 29 of chapter 1, it says, because they hated knowledge, they did not choose the fear of the Lord. Hate is used here not in the sense of complete despising something, but it does mean they didn't take it as seriously as they needed to take it. Actually, that's the technical way despite is used in the Word of God. In the second chapter of the book of Proverbs, in verse 5, it says, if you seek the Lord like you would seek riches, it says, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. In these three passages, it tells us that the fear of God is knowledge, and a failure to seek the fear of the Lord is what fools do. And in fact, in doing so, they despise wisdom and instruction. In short, you know what that means? Doesn't make any difference how much of an education that you have. If you don't first know the fear of the Lord, you don't know beans about what you need to know. If you don't first know the fear of the Lord, you don't know anything of eternal consequence. Doesn't make any difference whether you've studied to be a professor in college, whether you have studied so that you can be the best mechanic you can be, so that you are knowing the tasks that needed to be performed as a janitor, or whether you are a chef in a restaurant. I don't care what you learn or what you know. If you don't know the fear of the Lord God first, you don't know the foundation for living, you don't know anything that you're going to be able to take into eternity with you. And that's what these passages are saying. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's why I mentioned what I mentioned at first. Parents, you can help them begin knowledge. If you teach them the fear of the Lord in your house. I know some of you are very, very diligent. And especially with first children, try to teach them how to read before they go into school. That's okay. Kids learn to read at a different pace. Most everybody learns how to read eventually. But there are parents that really are diligent, try to teach their kids so many things that they'll have so that when they get into kindergarten and first grade, they're really going to have a step up on all the other children. Let me tell you, don't teach them anything else until you've made sure they understand the fear of God. It's the foundation of understanding anything. Unless we understand that first, we're not going to help our children see it. Unless we understand that first and lose sight of it by the siren song of this world, then we don't really know what we need to know to be able to take us into eternity. Another thing that is involved that is very important is what's described for us in several other passages of Scripture. In the 9th chapter of the book of Proverbs, for example, in verse 10, there it tells us that not only is the fear of God the beginning of knowledge, but it tells us in chapter 9 and verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. In the 15th chapter, and in verse 33 of the book of Proverbs, it also talks there not just about knowledge, which usually in Scripture is talking about acquired education, things that someone might be able to acquire by learning a particular subject. In chapter 15 and verse 33, it tells us that the fear of the Lord is instruction for wisdom, and before honor comes humility. You know, we make the distinction, even in English, of knowledge being what you acquire through instruction and wisdom, what you acquire from living. Have you ever known anybody that you described, and hopefully you don't use the word fool lightly, but you recognized was a educated fool? I can remember people that I went to college with. I remember professors that I had in college who might know their particular field of endeavor, but didn't believe in God. That really didn't, when it came to many issues of life, have sense enough to pound sand down a rat hole. But they knew their subject. It's telling us in the Word of God that not only is the fear of the Lord the beginning of knowledge, but the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You may pride yourself in the fact, well, I haven't had a big, broad education, or, well, let me tell you, I haven't really invested in a whole bunch of things. I'm kind of a jack of all trades and a master of none. There are a lot of people who have kind of a native wisdom about them, and that's good. But let me tell you, unless your wisdom has you knowing how to understand God's Word and apply it in a wise way, then again, you don't know what you need to know. And the only way you can have as the beginning of wisdom, have the fear of the Lord as the beginning of wisdom, is to make sure that you first know what fear is, and second of all, know what God wants you to do, and then how to apply it. I remember a situation one time in which there were some ladies. There was a town that I knew of where there was a woman whose husband had been very successful in his business. He'd been able to buy a house and pay cash for it. In a part of the country where swimming pools were not very common, they had a swimming pool in their backyard. High privacy fence. And that was good. I certainly suggest that. If you're going to have a swimming pool, try to make it so that your modesty is protected. But you know, it was interesting that these ladies were having a ladies' class one day, and after it was over, they got to talking about it, and one of the ladies said, listen, and if any of you ladies ever, you know, when we're out of town, if you and your husband want to come by and swim in the pool, we'll leave a key out so that you can come there and you and your husband can just swim in the pool if you'd like to. She made that offer to several people. And several people took advantage of it when they were out of town or not going to be at their house. One lady who had just moved into their community, who was a Christian, was at that class one time, and she was made the same offer. And she said, oh, I couldn't do that. Couldn't do it at all. Why not? She said, because it'd be mixed swimming. The ladies got to thinking, mixed swimming with your husband? Reason that you might not want to mix swim is because you'd be associated with somebody you're not married to who's not wearing clothes to speak of. But let me tell you, is it possible that you may have seen your husband in maybe even no clothes? Is it possible? Do you see, we're talking about a different issue here. And here this woman knew the rule about not swimming with somebody that she wasn't married to that was not wearing many clothes. But yet she didn't recognize the wisdom that that's something that doesn't apply when you're talking about your husband. You know, I taught at Florida College for 9 years, and there were students that didn't necessarily understand that we didn't have dances at Florida College because we didn't think it was a good idea for young people who weren't married to one another to be up close against each other, doing the hoochie-cooch. We didn't think that it was a good idea for people who weren't married to one another to be out there shaking their bodies all around each other. We didn't think that was a good idea, so we didn't have dances at Florida College. But there were students who would argue that dancing was wrong, but somehow didn't figure out that things that they might do in the back seat of a car were worse. Isn't that amazing? Well, know what I'm telling you? We had people that maybe knew the rule, but didn't have the wisdom to apply the rule to other aspects of life. You know what? The fear of the Lord is instruction for wisdom. You fear God. You're concerned about what His Word has to say. You make up your mind you are not going to be a rebel against His cause. And there's an awful lot of things that you'll be able to develop wisdom on that is the very beginning of the fear of the Lord. Is making sure that you don't just violate the letter of the law, but neither do you defy the spirit of the law that the Lord has given you. In the 8th chapter of the book of Proverbs, in verse 13, there it says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverted mouth I hate. It also talks about this in chapter 16 and verse 6, where it again talks about the importance of making sure that evil is something that we have an absolute distaste for if we are going to be people who truly fear the Lord. It says, by loving kindness and truth, iniquity is atoned for. And by the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil. In chapter 23 and verse 17, there's again the same idea expressed. Chapter 23 and verse 17, where it emphasizes to us again that to make sure that we have a complete distaste for evil is something that is important. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but live in the fear of the Lord always. Our fear of the Lord recognizes there is security in right. Our fear of the Lord also lets us understand that there is insecurity and terror in wrong. Now I realize that wrong has an appeal. You know, there are some people who say, well, you know, even if the scriptures didn't say that we ought to do things that are right, I think I'd go ahead and do things right anyway. No, you wouldn't. If the scriptures didn't tell us how to live, we wouldn't be here this morning. We'd be out living like tomcats out here in the neighborhood. We'd be doing anything we could get by with. Now there's some that'd be worse than others, but let me tell you, if you didn't have the fear of the Lord and the understanding of what God would have us to do, and if you didn't understand that there was a God, you wouldn't have any reason for the fear of the Lord that would make you hate evil. Because evil is by its very nature something that for the most part winds up being a temptation to people. Let me tell you, temptation wouldn't be temptation if it wasn't fun. But we have to make sure that our head rules our body. We have to make sure that that eternal part of us, our soul, rules our body as we live lives. You know, if we don't allow our spiritual self to control our physical self, it's just like letting the inmates rule the asylum. It's like letting kindergarten kids run the kindergarten class. Our spiritual selves have to be the ones that look ahead. Because let me tell you, I'm not taking this body to heaven with me. My soul is the only thing that gets to go there. And why would I do anything with my body that would jeopardize my soul? My body is wearing out day by day. I intend to retire sometime in a few years, and I hope I've got enough health left to be able to live through that time and be healthy through that time. Because I see as I get older, it's easier for me to get sick. It's easier for my parts to wear out. That's just the way it is in this world. I hope you have good health as long as you can have it. But if you have it 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years, there's going to come a point where it wears out. But you know, your soul doesn't wear out unless you let it be something that is jeopardized by the way you live your life. And the only way you're going to successfully do that is to develop in your soul and in your mind a hatred for what's wrong and a love for what's right. I know there are people who try to be Christians by saying, well, you know, I'm just going to hold myself back from doing wrong. And I realize there are things that tempt us all our lives. But you know, there is a sense in which we, as people who have the fear of the Lord, are going to have to learn to hate evil and love what's right. Just like God does. He loves righteous behavior. We need to learn to love righteous behavior. He hates evil. Loves the sinner, but he hates evil. We need to learn to hate evil too. If for no other reason, we understand its dire consequences. See, the fear of the Lord means that we're people that learn to hate evil. To turn against what's wrong. That understand the terrible consequences of it. And on the basis of that, allow our fear of the Lord keep us from doing those things that would put us in eternal jeopardy. In the 10th chapter of the book of Proverbs, in verse 27, it mentions something else that is the opposite of that. That lets us understand that not only should we hate evil because of its terrible consequences, but we need to make sure that as we live our lives, we understand that as it says in verse 27 of Proverbs 10, the fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. Now that doesn't mean that if you have a child that dies young, that they were something evil in their life. Or that doesn't mean that if somebody lives to be 100 years of age, that they are people who were righteous. Proverbs is filled with truisms, things that are basically so, that can be observed from natural phenomena round about you. It is an inspired book in which we have that evidence made more sure. But most of the things in the book of Proverbs are things that can be observed from just our empirical senses. But you know what I think we can understand is that the basis of a long, happy, successful, holy life rests in our fearing the Lord and doing what's right. Do you remember? We see that if we honor our father and mother, as it said in Exodus the 20th chapter, that the Lord emphasizes this so that you may live long on the land that the Lord has given you. Land in Hebrew is the word eretz. And we see as that's translated in the New Testament, the Lord emphasizes that it was the first command with a promise that you may live long on the earth, which is talking about the same idea. The basis of good living, the basis of longevity is in doing the things that are right. You know, I don't have to worry about dying of AIDS if I do the right thing and my spouse does too. I don't have to worry about having some man come and shoot me because I'm running around with his wife, because I'm not going to run around with anybody's wife. I don't have to worry about somebody coming and beating me up because I've stolen something from them, because I'm not going to steal anything from them. We do the things that are right. We fear God and therefore do those things that are consistent with His will. We plant in our own lives the seeds of a long life, a successful career in doing God's will and what He would have us to do. In the 14th chapter of the book of Proverbs, in verse 7, it says, "Leave the presence of the word of a fool, or you will not discern knowledge." In verse 27, it says, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may avoid the snares of death." Certainly, we as Christians know that the life that God promises us in His Word is one that is not going to cease when they nail the box lid down on our coffin, but it's one that's going to continue on. But do you know it's even obvious that by living the kind of life in which you engage in clean living, in which you engage in obedience to the law and obedience to what is right in the sight of all men, by doing what God would have you to do because you fear Him, you've already got rid of an awful lot of things that wind up killing people in the world in which we live. And we need to make sure that we understand and appreciate the fountain of life that is provided in that. In the 19th chapter of the book of Proverbs, in verse 23, there we see that same point is made when it says, "The fear of the Lord leads to life, so that one may sleep satisfied, untouched by evil." That doesn't mean that your house is not going to be broken into because you fear the Lord. That doesn't mean that you may not even be damaged by evildoers. Drunk people run over righteous people all the time. There are people who are killed in drive-by shootings in the United States who were innocent, who were not guilty of anything. But yet, generally, that's not true. Generally, if you can sleep with a good conscience, satisfied, untouched by evil, then you're someone who the fear of the Lord has been something that leads you to life rather than constant fear of death and the revenge of human beings who have causes against you. It says in verse 22 and verse 4 of the same book, it says there, "The reward of humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. You keep your nose to the grindstone. You work hard. You don't try to cut corners because you fear the Lord." You know, you're much more likely to be successful under those circumstances than you are if you're always looking for an angle or you're always looking for quick riches. If you have the fear of the Lord and you do the things that are right, you're in a situation in which, again, you're most likely to be able to have honor from everyone because they'll see in you characteristics that are honored in the sight of virtually everyone who is honorable. If you tell the truth to people, you'll develop a reputation for being someone who is truthful. You are loyal to your friends. You'll develop a reputation for loyalty. You show yourself to be a person of conscience and a person of faith. You'll develop that reputation among people round about you. But it takes the fear of the Lord to do that. And do you know the reward that, again, he describes as life? Because the principles, at least, of a long life are laid by someone first fearing the Lord and therefore doing those things that are consistent in the Lord's sight. In the 14th chapter of the book of Proverbs, in verse 26, mentions another idea that I think is important for us to consider. Chapter 14, and verse 26, it lets us know that in the fear of the Lord, there can be strong confidence. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, it says, and His children will have refuge. Remember I told you earlier that as you teach your children, you need to let them know that there is absolute security in obedience. That they are living within a fence. And within that fence of your protection and the rules that you have set for them, they can be absolutely secure. They don't have to worry about you just waking up one morning and decide that you're going to go on a recreational beating frenzy. That's why it's wrong for parents to beat their children simply because they're in a bad mood. There's a difference between a loving parent spanking a child to help make them better, and somebody who is a cruel parent who just has some sort of strange idea about the way things are and likes to mistreat children. But they ought to be able to understand through the love that they understand that you show for them that they live within security. There is great confidence in their being able to do what you would have them to do. But you also need to understand that that's the way that it works in our service to the Lord. That in the fear of the Lord, there's strong confidence. Don't be afraid of God if you're doing His will. But if you decide you want to err outside of the fence that God has established through His Word, you need to be terrified. If you decide that you're going to not be careful about what you do, because after all, it might be okay with God, then you need to understand that you are living on shaky ground. I think my father and mother did a good job of that. You know, there are some young people today who think that after all, if I don't know what mom and daddy would think about it, I'll just do what I want to do, and then if I get in trouble, I'll say, well, okay, I didn't know. We didn't have a definite rule on that, I didn't think. So I was mistaken. Oops, I'm sorry. And you know, there are many parents, I'd say most parents in our culture, who would say, well, don't do it again. My mother and father, especially my father, was someone who didn't go after that don't do it again philosophy. I didn't go around thinking, well, you know, maybe I'll do what I want to do and then try to talk my way out of it. That never happened. I had to concentrate on the idea of what would Daddy want me to do? How would my dad think about this matter? And what that meant was my fear of him, my desire for security within him meant that I tried to run the necessary implications of what he had said in the past about new situations I found myself in. So if it came down to a matter of, should I do it or not? Will I get punished or not? I didn't have to worry about not getting punished, because if it was something that displeased my father, I knew I'd get punished. You know, there are people who do that about God's Word. Oh, I'm not exactly sure what God meant by that. Might have meant this, might have meant that. I'll tell you what, I'll do what I want to and see if I can talk myself out of it one day. That's not the way the judgment day works. You're not going to be able to stand there before God and say, oh, I'm sorry. I thought this was okay. That's not showing the fear of the Lord. That's not showing meticulous effort to obey His will. That's not showing an attitude that is not willing to even slide into rebellion against His will. There's security and confidence in doing what He says. You need to understand that you are walking on insecure ground to do anything but that in the Lord's service. In the 15th chapter of the book of Proverbs, in verse 16, there it tells us, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and turmoil with it. You know, fear of the Lord is a lot better than great treasure. Although the principles that might be able to make you successful are found in the fear of the Lord and in the obedience to His will. Although the principles for a long life and a successful life are built in the fear of the Lord and doing what He would have us to do, we need to understand that that's not always the way things work in this life. That sometimes There's not a settle-up situation on this side of eternity. There always will be on the other side. But do you know, even if you find yourself, because of oppressive government, because of circumstances beyond your control, just having a little, you need to recognize that before God, there is great treasure in fear of the Lord. There is a lot better situation in being able to have the fear of the Lord than being able to have an accumulation of this world's goods. Because there'll come a day in which we stand before God and we are judged on the foundation that we built our life on. Was it the fear of the Lord? Was it wisdom that we were able to garner by making sure the fear of the Lord was our foundation? Did we take confidence in the fear of the Lord rather than confidence in trying to walk outside of the guidelines that He set up? No, we need to understand very, very clearly and without any hope of being, any idea of being mistaken on this, that even if you are not blessed with a great many of this world's goods, you go into eternity with great treasure if you've lived a life in which you've shown fear of the Lord. And do you know all those things that you acquire, you're not going to be able to take with you. Remember hearing about a couple of guys walking by a cemetery one day, and it was a peculiar funeral. There was a wealthy man who decided that he wanted to be buried in his Cadillac. Now let me tell you, you have to pay, if you decide, I'm not trying to encourage you to do that, but if you decide to do that, that'll cost you extra at the funeral home. Because they got to build a dig a bigger hole. You probably got to buy several plots to do that. It's really hard to get some kind of a vault to bury a Cadillac in. And it's hard to, even in spite of how good it sounds, it's hard to look cool when you're dead behind the wheel of a Cadillac. But anyway, that's the way this fellow was being buried. These two bums went by one day and they looked and they just watched what was going on. And one fellow finally said, without thinking, he said, "Man, that is living." No, it's not. That Cadillac was going to be absolutely useful to no one. The suit the man wore was absolutely useful to no one. The things that he was buried with meant absolutely nothing. You know, there are cultures around the world that bury people with stuff. I have a cousin who's a grave digger, and he says you'd be surprised at the funerals that he sees. There are some in which they will pack the casket with beer bottles full of beer around that so that you can barely get the casket closed because somehow they think that's going to help the dead man. Let me tell you, he's past drinking anything. You know, he's graveyard dead. But they still somehow do that. Pharaohs were buried with all kinds of wealth because people thought they'd be able to use them in the afterlife. And you know, occasionally they'll find a pyramid or a grave that didn't have someone rob it first, and there'll be wealth in there beyond our ability to imagine it. That's not the way it works. But within proper service to the Lord, it's an awful lot better to be able to enter eternity with the fear of the Lord than it is to be able to enter eternity with no fear of the Lord, but coming to that great dividing line in which you have to leave everything behind and face the Lord on the basis of how you've lived your life. How are you living this morning? Do you fear the Lord? Is that the foundation for everything else that you know? Is that the foundation upon which you make decisions and you make choices in your life that hopefully show your wisdom in living life? If you don't have the fear of the Lord and you're facing eternity, you don't have anything.